Creator God, on this journey through Lent, we ask that you would accompany us, that you would be ever present, even as we face some of the dark and difficult times, both that our faith presents, but that may be at work within our communities, within our lives. We ask that you would take us by the hand and help us to know that your unconditional love is ever and always present. In this time, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you. Amen. So the meditation today, and it is, I hope, a meditation. I was told to keep it short, so I'm going to do my best. Is a convergence of a number of experiences, readings, and I guess you might call them ponderings that I've had lately. Although I'm not completely sure they fit together, I'll leave that up to you, they seem to have relevance to both the reading from John, the dramatic reading that we heard today, that caught me too, and to your Lenten theme, the age of water to the age of wine. First, a recent conversation I had during which, after sharing some struggles I'd been having that past week, the person I was chatting with said simply, when we try to protect someone, ourselves included, we end up denying them. At the time, I didn't consider what he said too deeply, and honestly, I thought it was a bit of a strange thing to say when I really just wanted a listening ear. However, this past week, when I read the narrative lectionary and considered Peter's denial, the comment spilled back into my mind. Was Peter's denial of Jesus at a very fundamental level a denial of himself, of his true self, the self that Jesus, on this journey they had taken together, had been trying to awaken within him? And if so, was it also a denial of Jesus' call to awaken to the kingdom, to that new age that you've begun to explore together on this Lenten journey? What happens to us, or to our true selves, to our communities, when we deny Jesus' call to follow, to take up our cross, knowing that the old must pass away in order for the new age to emerge or to be known in our midst? What happens to us when we deny ourselves? Secondly, just last week on CBC's The Current, during a segment entitled The Secret to Happiness, which I'm hearing is a bit of a theme in our culture right now. How do we understand happiness? What is the road to happiness? I'm still grappling with whether this is a helpful direction for us to be considering. And so, if I'm honest, the segment caught my attention because the content was intriguing, but also a bit annoying to me. Intrigued, because the program explored some of the disturbing statistics of and contributors to unhappiness. How our culture has moved dramatically away from community connections, which leads to isolation, loneliness, depression, and a shocking rise of anxiety, especially social anxiety disorders. And again, especially among our younger generations. Another article I happened upon connected this steep rise in anxiety and depression to the convergence of the smartphone and the explosion of social media, and the coming together of those two elements approximately around 2008. Speculating that this is further increasing isolation while at the same time decreasing the actual physical human face-to-face contact that we have access to within our communities. Could it be that the age of water, that which consumes us and perhaps threatens to drown us, pushes us deeper into denial of self, and so community? Walter Brueggemann, an author and professor of theology, names this age of water as the story of our culture, a culture dying of loneliness from technology, individuation, and consumerism. He goes on to declare that we, the faith community, are called to live and invite others to God's story, a story of new wine, a story that is one of connection and forgiveness, compassion and abundance, sharing and gratitude. A story he sums up in these two words, which I think I still need to explore a little bit, but I'll leave them with you to grapple with. Covenanted neighborliness. Covenanted neighborliness. The third connection came as I read further into Brueggemann's understanding of the age of water to the age of wine, which he explores through a fascinating exegesis of the story of the wedding at Cana. Brueggemann describes the jars of water turned to wine being in excess. Now, my husband said I should have done the conversion, but I didn't, so take it for what it is, of excess of 180 gallons, which would have been used for the Jewish rites of purification in preparation for worship or for the wedding. Worship, understood as the time when we all come together to meet God, to get close to God, to be with God. Now, the fascinating part of the story for our purposes today is that in the Talmud, it is specified how much water is needed for these rites of purification. And that is only about a cup was necessary for around 100 people. But here in this story, there's well over 180 gallons of water. That is enough water to purify the entire world. God's gift in this new age, connection and forgiveness, compassion, sharing and gratitude, this covenanted neighborliness. These gifts are abundant, enough for the entire world. We may be called to be the vessels to share that abundance. And finally, this has me circling back to the current segment on the secret to happiness, and back to my own annoyance, an annoyance that I may need to face as my own denial of where and how God is up to something in this world of ours. That the story cannot and should not be contained. That in fact, the wineskins are bursting. The course, Psychology and the Good Life, is currently the most popular in all of Yale history. 1,200 students attending this course, and their parents asking if they can come and observe. Attempting to address mental well-being, living well, and being happy, with a focus not just on positive psychology, but also on behavioral change. The research suggests, and you might begin to see my annoyance here, three practices. First, the need for social connection, and so to prioritize socializing, connecting, and building community wherever you may live. Second, recognizing the importance of thankfulness, and so to practice gratitude each day, pausing to consider what you are thankful for, keeping a gratitude journal, or experiencing compassion by reaching out to others. And finally, being attentive to something that the researchers called time affluence, which, when they broke it down, wasn't that big of an idea, but basically, taking time for yourself, giving yourself the permission to do the things that you like, making space for being present with yourself through mindfulness or through meditation. Can you see why I was feeling some annoyance? As my son would have said, well, that's not rocket science, is it? And as I would have said, it seems like the church has a 2,000-year jump on that particular program. But in my own prayer and meditation this past week with the scripture for today, Jesus said, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temples. I have said nothing in secret. By Jesus' own testimony, God is at work in the world, and perhaps it is as simple as us, the church, bearing witness to, partnering with those places, those people, those visions of hope and healing. This age of wine, this new age, that we are in it together. Not to deny it, but to embrace it, wherever, however, and with whomever we find it. Amen.